First Kings 18, please. Mercy drops around us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Amen. The burden is that God get in all these churches. That's the burden. When the tent's been long and gone, the burden and the commitment and the distance God brings people with Him will never die. And the lasting results are the most precious things. Amen. Praise the Lord. You ever thought about those scriptures where it speaks of John the Baptist? John the Baptist and Christ waxed strong in spirit. That's not just the Holy Spirit, that's their spirit. To be around somebody, to be really affected by somebody, rather, you've got spend a lot of time with them. Who you spend a lot of time with will rub off on you. You'll start talking like them. You let these young preachers grow up around their pastor and other evangelists a lot, and they'll get talking like them when they don't even know they are. Get to acting like them. We're products of our environment. The reason a lot of times we act like we do is because who we've been running with. You got to learn to run with the right crowd. The Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And those that love Him. Then you can tell lost sinners and there'll be an impact there. How do you wax strong in spirit? By being in the presence of God. You get in the presence of God by meditation. Maybe next week I'll deal with personal prayer and private prayer, maybe a little bit. But the presence of God, you wax strong in spirit by waiting before God. In the Lewis Revival, which is the greatest move of God in the last, ever since 49 to 52, never been a move of God in this world that I know of. Since then, like the Lewis Revival. And there was some deacons, a pastor, just a handful of people, and some old women that made a covenant with God. And they waited. They would wait on Tuesday and Thursday, maybe. There was two nights a week. And they would just wait before God, the old women in their cottage, and then the men down in a barn. And they'd pray and wait before God from 10 o'clock to 4 in the morning, 2 to 4 in the morning, waiting for God to touch them and quicken their faith. When you're around God a lot, you've got a lot of faith. Now, when you're strong in spirit, that means that your spirit's getting stronger to control your soul. That's your mind, your will, and emotions. And to control your flesh. You want to be controlled from your spirit, not your soul. Every lost man's got a soul, but he's got a dead spirit. He doesn't have a connection to God. When you got saved, you got a connection to God. And that part that God saved is perfect and cannot sin. Your soul can sin, but your spirit can't sin. He that is born of God doth not commit sin, neither can he sin, because he's born of God. That part of you being born of God is sinless. That's what needs to control you right there. You go to 1 John, that can be proof. He put the seed in you. That's right. We're running by emotion because we're not spirit-centered. Amen. You say, I don't understand that. Well, I don't have time to go any farther. I won't get to this. And I don't understand much of this. Nobody does. We just, whatever God shows us, we try to find words to express what the Lord's let us know. Worshiping God, waiting before God, meditating on God's word. It takes time to be holy. To do much for God, we must be much with God. He who kneels before God shall stand before men. I heard that 35 years ago and ain't never forgot it. 1 Kings 18, about 7 verses here. I'm interested in the last of this chapter. 1 Kings 40, or 18, and verse number 40. Let me just, I'm not good at giving thanks because they're never adequate. I'm telling you, thank you's not enough. It's just not enough. But it's all I got. Oh. And I like it when God touches my heart. And what I can't say in words. My heart just adores Him. I love the Lord Jesus. Lord Jesus, I love You. I'm in love with the God man. He came a long way, didn't He? He came a long way. One preacher said he took a long trip. Amen. To meet man in his great tragedy. And there on the cross, He made a great transaction. And at the tomb, He made a great triumph. Amen. Serving God's Valentine's Day every day. You got to get your morning and your daily hug and kiss. That keeps you from getting so mean. When I don't get my daily kiss, you don't want to be around me. You say, that's silly. I know it is. People act silly when they're in love. I mean, men act so silly when they're in love, they open the door for the car door for their wife to get in. They write them little silly letters. I don't want to read none of yours. I'm embarrassed at my own. But, hallelujah, you get the testimony, you're in love when you're in love. Oh, yes. Well, Elijah, we're trying to get to you. 1 Kings 18, don't you love Elijah? Don't you love his God more? And Elijah said unto them, take the prophets of Baal, let not one of them escape. And they took them, and Elijah brought them down to the brook Kishon, and slew them there. And Elijah said unto Ahab, get thee up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of abundance of rain. So Ahab went up to eat and to drink, and Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. He cast himself down upon the earth, put his face between his knees. The Oriental birthing position. And said to his servants, go up now, look toward the sea. And he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And he said, go again 7 times. So how many times did the servant go? 8. 8. He went 1 time and come back. Elijah said, go again 7 times. 8's the number of new beginning. It came to pass at the 7th time that he said, behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea like a man's hand. And he said, go up, say unto Ahab, prepare thy chariot, get thee down, that the rain stop thee not. It came to pass in the meanwhile that the heaven was black with clouds and wind, and there was a great rain. Ahab rode and went to Jezebel, and the hand of the Lord was on Elijah. And he girded up his loins and ran before Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. I want to talk to you a little bit on go again 7 times. 1 Kings 18, verse 40 through verse number 46. We see here how that God is using an opportunity in Elijah's life to make him a great man, and in Israel's life to make them a remnant in them that will have faith again in God. Elijah, you know, thought his ministry was a failure. He got depressed. And you know why he got depressed? He told the Lord. He said, I'm no better than my father. They failed, I failed. They couldn't bring Israel back to God, I couldn't bring Israel back to God. God said, Elijah, I've got 7,000, not 6,900, 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. That was a product of Elijah standing for God. What was God doing? He wasn't going to save all of Israel. He was saving a remnant that did not be destroyed. I believe that's what God's heart is in this nation. America's not going to be saved, but if there's a remnant saved, we can keep the judgment off of this country. Now, God made Elijah with crisis in his life, tragedies in his life. We see here that James 5 said he was a man subject of like passion as we are. Now, he's a man of passion. I don't have time to get on that. He's a man of preparation. There was a lot in the background that happened before he ever got to Mount Carmel. A whole lot. 3.5 years earlier, he stood and put his finger in the face of Ahab and said, "It's not going to rain, except according to my word. You're not going to get dew and you're not going to get rain. And God is going to make this place bad." Well, Ahab, instead of repenting, wanted to chase down Elijah and kill him or make him turn the water back on. Isn't that strange? In the process of preparation here, we see that God is building faith in Elijah. At the brook Cherith, he didn't have enough faith to pray down fire on Mount Carmel. In the widow's house, he didn't have enough faith to pray down fire on Mount Carmel. It is a process of God building faith. We go from faith to faith, grace to grace, and glory to glory. Or like David, when David stood before Goliath, he was standing on past victories. He was drawing from the well of experience. Elijah had to see God come through. Elijah had to see the miraculous and the little things of life and the daily provisions of life will prepare us for the bigger things that God is going to do down the road. That brook Cherith was no small matter. Here's a raven. I think he got it off Ahab's table. Here's a raven bringing meat and bread. That's called a sandwich. That'll help you. If you're a vegetarian, you ain't kin to me. Brought him bread and meat twice a day. Had two good meals a day. And he wasn't out there exercising, wasn't he spending a lot of energy, so he didn't need 3 meals and 5 snacks a day. So the raven brought him the meat. He's down there by the water. Ahab can't find him. He sends ambassadors to all of the countries around. Everybody, Ahab's making the kings sign an affidavit that they were not hiding him. He's right under his nose, about 20 miles south, and he can't find him. And God sends him to Zarephath, where Jezebel's daddy's king, and he can't find him. I'm telling you, that'll build you faith in your life. Thank God for the times God wouldn't let Satan find me, because he didn't have enough strength to face him. Amen. So he goes to Zarephath. God showed him a widow. He's looking for a widow. He didn't go up there. He's not up there sightseeing. He's looking for a widow. How will he know she's the one? Because she'll obey. God's prepared grace in his heart. God's prepared grace in her heart. He goes up there. She's gathering sticks for her and her son to eat one more meal. Oh, Elijah said, "Fix me a cake first." And she did. And you know the barrel of meal and the cruse of oil was never emptied to the end of the famine. But then her boy dies, and old Elijah sees God resurrect him. I'm talking about faith to faith, grace to grace, glory to glory, as God builds your faith little by little by little for the showdown with the devil. Faith hid him at Cherith. Faith fed him at Zarephath. Faith fought for him at Mount Carmel. Boy, king, can't listen to me, folks. Satan, you're invincible as long as God wants you here. Satan can't stop a believing church That's why he fills us with discouragement and unbelief. Sometimes we need to stand up. Say, I don't see a cloud in the sky. I haven't felt a raindrop falling. But I'm going to believe God, what God wants to do, and make God give us that kind of faith. You don't see so you can believe. You believe so you can see. But there's an element there. You see so you can believe. In your spirit, man, God shows you things. You say you believe God speaks to people? I believe Jesus Christ can be trusted. My sheep hear my voice. Amen. Prayer's a two-way conversation. False doctrine couldn't stop old Elijah. Nothing can stop faith. What did Jesus say? Have faith in God. That means have faith like God. God built this world by faith. In his word. He speaks it. It happens. That's God's faith. That's a faith. That's what we need. I'm not talking about name it, claim it mess. Hey, we got enough of that trash going around. It produces nothing but carnality. I'm talking about God speaking to you. God quickening his word. He speaks through his word, but he speaks in that still, small voice. Now, of these three faith-building victories, they came right in the middle of the drought. Isn't that amazing? The depth and the tenacity of faith will be built in the most difficult times of life. We say, you know what, a lot of times, Brother Randy, difficulties come, trials come. And we say, God, what are you doing? He said, I'm answering that prayer you prayed 2 years ago. Where you asked me to use you. I can't use you like you are. I gotta make you like me to use you. I gotta get that cocky pride out of you. I gotta get the flesh out of you. I gotta get your self-dependence out of you. I gotta bring you through the valley so you'll have to learn to trust me, and then I can turn you loose because I can trust you. God breaks us down so low. And we say, God, we like the Syrophoenician woman. Lord, I just take a crumb. So that when he gives you the loaf, you'll never strut. You give him all the glory and be overwhelmed that God would choose to use such as we are. Amen. Hallelujah. Elijah's a man of passion and a man of preparation and a man of progression. His victory is a process of steps. Notice this. Just see the rain. 1 Kings 18:4. He said, I hear the abundance of rain. It had rained for 3.5 years. Now, all you men of God have preached this. I'm not preaching something new. I'm just reminding you what you've heard. A man preaches revival, or a preacher goes into a church, he's just a second witness to say amen what that pastor's been saying. The church got used to his voice. Amen. There's children in Israel that have never seen it rain. They've heard about it. 3.5 years, there's 3.5-year-old children that have never seen it rain. They've never seen the dew. They've never went out in the daytime and the water wet their face with God's blessing. They've never seen a downpour. They've never seen a mud puddle. They've never made a mud pie. They don't know what rain is. They've heard mom and daddy talk about it. Now, how we see that in America, we've got at least 2 or 3 generations that have never seen the rain. They don't know what the rain is. That's why they're agnostics and atheists. They've been down to the church and they felt nothing and seen nothing. Well, I'll tell you, if they ever see a man preach under the anointing of God, that makes it believable. I know, man, I don't believe he's saved yet. He told me he is a little boy and his mama took him up to a local fireworks display on July the 4th. He said there's a man in the back of a truck preaching. Mama had the windows rolled up. I didn't hear a word he said, but the act of him preaching put the fear of God in my heart. They've never been in a service where God took over. They've never been in a service where the praise of God went up in the shout of victory. They've never seen sinners broken under all time, hellfire, get you lost conviction. They've never seen it. Paul said he is apprehended. They've never seen a man get arrested by the Holy Ghost. You say, what's that? We'll just go on. I ain't getting bogged down there. All I can tell you what I've seen. I know how God dealt with me. I'm telling you, he convinced me. Amen. Here we see a spiritual drought in Elijah's day. People have lost sight of God. We need restoration in a God that's alive. You ask some average Baptist church member, I'm not jumping on you folks, I'm talking to all of us. They couldn't tell you it's been so long since they had a prayer answer. That's pretty evident they've quit. We need to have stories of our own. How God come through for us. How God healed us. How God blessed us. How God moved on us. That's what gives you faith. And go to church rejoicing that God heard one of your prayers. We need restoration in the fear of God. God does a move on people. He makes them fear him first or they won't take him serious. We need a restoration of faith. We need a restoration of faithfulness. We need a restoration of fervency. And everything I've just said, we can't produce. God's got to put it in us. And it's his will. To experience God publicly, you've got to experience him privately. Jesus said, if you pray in secret, I'll reward you openly. Ain't that what he said? Now, folks, listen to me. When you hear a man preach what I'm preaching today, you just eat the chicken and spit out the bones. Okay? If I say something you don't agree with, just spit it out. And ask God to help me say something that'll help you. We're not here analyzing. We're here seeking God in the spirit of revival. Elijah was like all praying people. He heard a different drummer. He saw what others couldn't see. He felt what others couldn't feel. He believed what others wouldn't believe. He saw an abundance of rain when not one drop of water had fallen. Amen. I want to tell you something. A fire fell from heaven, but that ain't enough. Fire doesn't grow crops. It destroys them. Boy, that's impressive what God did on that mountain. He let them know he is God again. But they got to have water. The land's in a drought. God shows up. God comes in the service and we recognize it's him. But we need the rain. We need the blessing of his presence and his power to do what we can't do. I think most people's operated so long without God, they wouldn't even have known him if he showed up. Revivals have premonitions. Here's how you know God's a working in people's heart. There's an increased hunger and a response to the word of God. There's an increased burden for lost souls to pray and to witness. There's an increased participation in private devotions, prayer meetings in the church, prayer rooms. There's an increased awareness of the necessity of unity. Look at verse 42 right quick. Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, cast himself down upon the earth, and put his face between his knees. Ahab goes to a banquet. Elijah goes to pray. After all that Ahab had seen, it's just another show. It's just another form of entertainment for him. He didn't go fall on his face. His wife didn't go fall on her face. He went to eat and he went to drink. Only spiritual people can do spiritual work. Ahab lived for this world. He sought an earthly throne, and Elijah is seeking a heavenly throne. Oh, Ahab is pursuing the wrong crown. He's running with the wrong crowd because he is the wrong crowd. He's pursuing false gods. He has no interest in what God's doing in Israel. And it almost got Elijah down. That's what I said a while ago and didn't finish it. He said, Lord, I'm no better than my fathers. I couldn't bring them back. Preacher, you ain't bringing them back. You ain't got the power to bring them back. No more can you save anybody. You can't make them live for God. I know who can when God works it in our heart. Amen. We preach the word of God and pray for the blessing of God. Pray for the rain. Preach on Sunday morning and pray God send the rain. Amen. He lived for a higher purpose. He knew a deeper peace. He believed with an unshakable promise. He was existed for heaven's praise and heaven's purpose. So Ahab is basically unaffected. His wife is unaffected. 450 false prophets are not unaffected. They're headless now. Amen. How'd you like to see God, the Holy Ghost, move in such power he'd cut the head off of that snake of false heresy and religion? And God exposed these false prophets for who they are. There are people watch these clowns on TV, ain't no more saving a billy goat and sending them a bunch of hirelings money. Ahab's actions caused Elijah to walk alone. He was alone at Cherith. He went alone up to Zarephath. But thy God give him just a little bit of fellowship with that little family. Elijah knows the place of isolation. He knows how to persevere in prayer. He knows how to pour out his heart to God. He knows how to seek the Lord. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That ain't enough. And that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. You know why we don't pray more? We don't have enough faith to believe it works. You'd be putting your order in all you could if you really believed it worked. Now, ain't that right? Amen, folks. I'm not here to be argumentative. I'm here to tell you the truth. You can tell how much you pray, how much you believe God can change anything. You say, well, why would God hear you? Why wouldn't he? He promised he would, didn't he? Amen. So Ahab went out to eat and drink. Elijah went up to the top of Carmel, cast himself down upon the earth, put his face between his knees, and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. He went up and looked. There he said nothing. He said, go again, seven times. It came to pass the seventh time. Then he said, behold, there riseth a little cloud out of the sea, like a man's hand. And he said, go up. Send Ahab, prepare thy chariot, get thee down, for I hear the sound, let the rain stop thee not. What did Elijah do? He cast himself down to the ground. This doesn't make any sense. It just doesn't make sense. The Lord's up there on Mount Carmel. He showed that mighty demonstration of a faith. And of Elijah, he showed that mighty demonstration of the fire of God. Why's God putting the prophet through such agony in prayer? I'm going to tell you something, folks. You can't understand God, and you can't explain him. That's God's ways. You got to learn God's ways. All of Israel saw God's acts. Elijah knew God's ways.
Elijah cast himself down. He bows himself to the ground, puts his face between his knees. He's in the birthing position. He's in the position of travail and pressing. He's trying to birth something great for the people of God. Now listen to me. When we talk about God's glory and God's power, I tell you, when I know what little bit I know, and that's not much, what little bit I know, when God is about to do something and really break through, He sends a spirit of travail on His people. Say, what's that? Ask any woman ever have a child what it is. It's the Holy Ghost sharing His burden in your spirit. I love it when God's got them sinners in the birth canal and He's moving them on. I'm talking about a God of power. Amen. Ain't nothing like it. Elijah is in that birthing position. He's pressing the throne of God. He is persistent over and over again. He had enough faith to believe God for the bread. Had enough faith to believe God to raise a son. Had enough faith to pray fire on Mount Carmel. But this is the greatest trial of his life right here. And cried unto the Lord and said, O Lord, my God, I pray thee, let the child's soul come to him again. Praise God, he had seen resurrection power. From Mount Carmel, this servant of God could see 100 miles. He looked out over the Mediterranean Sea, which is a type of the Gentile nations. He's looking down at Israel, who's to be the remnant and the light to the Gentile world. He's not praying for himself. He's not praying for a better situation for himself. He's begging God to do something for his people. Elijah can't celebrate the fire because there's drought in the land. Now most people's all excited about that fire. That's where God showed he is God. But shouting hadn't started with Elijah. There's still no rain. What do? When God does great things and you're still in a dry place, that's what you do. You do what Elijah did. You keep on praying. And you hold up God's word to him and say, Lord, this is what you've said. I'm trying to obey you and give me faith to believe you. So the pastor goes to church on Sunday morning looking for a cloud, looking for somebody to get on the altar and repent. Looking for somebody to really testify in the Holy Ghost. Looking for somebody to praise the Lord. Looking for a move. It takes a move of God to put a cloud in the sky. Looking for a move. Evidence. God is moving. Don't see anything. Ain't nothing happening. Goes back home and says, God, I'm going to pray another week. Go back and look for a cloud. Now this is easy preaching and hard living. It takes time to build a church. Boy, Elijah had already seen the rain. He saw it in his spirit. Let me hurry right quick. Boy, God is talking to Elijah here. He's talked to him about the greatness of his acts. And now Elijah wants to publicly see it so all can be blessed. I'm going to tell y'all something. Small signs precede a mighty work. Say, what all God is God going to do? Well, just how quick are you going to get satisfied? How hungry are you? How thirsty are you? God said, I'll pour water on him that's thirsty. Floods on the dry ground. It just don't take much to satisfy most people. God, I want to see the whole load. I want to see the gully washer. I want to see you send the rain. How do you, when God sends a hard enough rain, it changes the terrain, buddy. You can't stop a river. Tell you right now, God can send the rain, pour out His blessed Holy Spirit. So we see here, what do you do when it's dry? Just go back and pray. Go back and witness. Go back and preach. Notice this. A man come back right quick, there ariseth a little cloud out of the sea. Flesh just ain't going to impress Elijah. He's got to see something he knows supernatural. That's what he's looking for. It's the supernatural. You can have better offerings without God. You can have more attendance without God. You can have a lot of things without God. But Elijah begs for the supernatural that can't be explained. Brother Randy, what goes on in our churches that can't be explained? Isn't that what we need? Well, I'm going to get to the end of this in a minute. But the answer was immediate. This is amazing to me. God's ways. He prayed a 69-word prayer, and God sent the fire from heaven. Now he's out there agonizing. Out there sinning. It'd take a while to send a man 7 times, 8 times to go look for rain, to go look for a cloud. Now he's laboring. Why can't he pray a 69-word prayer here? Why can't he? Hey, I can't explain that. That's God's ways. That's how God does things. That's what you learn in this thing. There's no book on how to do it. Burn all them how to do books. Get the Holy Ghost to tell you what to do in your situation. Where are you, pastor? Every church has a different personality. It's got different people. And they respond to different things. And they got a different ministry. Find out what that is for you. In truth, Brother Randy, he labored for years. What happened here on Mount Carmel? After the man comes back and there's no cloud, I believe Elijah agonizing more in that spiritual realm to burn. Now listen to me. You've heard this priest, and I'm trying to hurry, but you've heard this priest. You can say what I'm going to say. The devil is not going to let you pastors or you people birth something great without fierce opposition. You know, a woman goes to the valley of the shadow of death to have a child. She's hanging between life and death when she brings that baby into the world. Oh, that's right. Oh, this thing of doing God's work, well, it'll cost us labor. It'll cost us fervency. To birth something great takes time. A lot of opposition. When God births something great, He's not just birthing something through you. He'll birth something in you. That's what we need, folks, that we can't go back to the same old, same old, same old. Only the Holy Ghost can share His burden with you. You men ever been driving down the road? God about bends you double. And you don't even know what it is. That's the burden of the Lord. That's when you say, Holy Ghost, I don't know what this is, but you and the Lord Jesus pray to the Father for me. Whatever it is. It might be a preacher about to fall. It might be a family busting up. It might be somebody about to get kidnapped. It might be somebody about to be murdered. And God's got you. He's got a vessel there He can pray through and travail through. The Holy Ghost prays through His people. If prayers are going to go to God, the Holy Spirit is going to pray them through His people. Ain't that right? Amen. The Holy Spirit shares His burden. You'll think you're dying. The real power of God comes through birth pangs. Soon as Zion travailed, she brought forth her children. You say, how do I work that up? You don't. It's not worked up, it's worked in. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. I am not preaching heresy. All the old timers believe this. All of them. They hear somebody groaning in. I ain't talking about speaking in tongues. I'm talking about groaning in the spirit. Them old timers knew what that was. And when they heard that, they knew business was about to pick up. Birth pangs. I read this from Watchman Nee probably 33 years ago. He said, that which costs nothing is worth nothing and will do nothing. Now, brother, we all believe Christ is God, don't we? Yeah, if you're saved, you do. You say in the affirmative and hallelujah and glory to God in 35 languages. Amen. Understandable languages. Jesus Christ is God, but He is man. What did He do in the Garden of Gethsemane? He wrestled in prayer with strong crying and tears. And to him that, and God said he heard him in that he feared. He learned obedience by the things he suffered. Now that's God, that's the God man. God doesn't learn anything. God doesn't learn anything. He knows all things. That's not God learning anything. That's the man, Christ Jesus. He didn't perform one miracle till the Holy Ghost come on him. Because he would not operate in his own deity. He taught us how to live the Christian life. And he lived under the power of the Holy Spirit, obeying the word of the Father. He's in the Garden of Gethsemane. You know why he's praying like that? To bring his human will into total submission to the will of the Father. Christ is sinless. He is impeccable. But he was a man with human weaknesses. His soul abhorred the thought of a holy God. Having the man Christ Jesus becoming sin. He abhorred the thought of the suffering. But what he abhorred the most was 3 hours of being abandoned by God. Separation. He feared that more than anything. If Jesus Christ feared being abandoned and separated from his Father for just 3 hours more than all the sufferings, what do you think hell's going to be when God pulls all the restraints off a man and said, you think you're God? You get to stay here by yourself, turned over to your depravity. Oh, that's right. Days of his flesh. Well, me trying to close this up. If Jesus Christ, the Son of God, if he had to pray, why do we think we can make it without it? If he went out on the mountain to pray for every major decision, why do we? Check the deacons. Check the wives. Check the church members. What should I do? Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah to our precious Lord. He rolled in the dirt. He rolled in the dirt. He cried, Father, if there's any other way. He said, I know there ain't no other way. He said, give me strength. That's what Christ is praying for. He don't want to fail the Father. He don't want that man part to fail him. Give me strength. And he gets in such agony. God had to send an angel to strengthen him or he'd have died. And God did. He strengthened him. He said Christ couldn't die before the time. I'm speaking in a way we can understand. Of course not, because God's going to strengthen him. Amen. Oh, Elijah's over there praying. The burden of the Lord's hit him. He's in that birthing position because he can't go down off that mountain, Brother Jimmy, without the rain. He just can't do it. God's honor is at stake. There's a man one time talking to some Armenians. He believed in eternal salvation. He said, now what are you going to do if you get to heaven and you find out you wasn't eternally saved? He said, I tell you one thing, God's going to lose more than me. I'll lose my soul, but he'll lose his honor. Faith lets you see greatness in little things. Faith lets you see a mass weapon of destruction in the jawbone of an ass, a donkey. Faith lets you see a meal that can feed a multitude in a lad's lunch. Faith lets you see a little stone dropping a 10-foot giant. Faith lets you see a small vessel in a room full of empty jars, all being filled by God's supply. Faith lets you see a king in a simple teenage boy. Faith lets you see a small and insignificant town of Bethlehem bringing forth the Savior of the world. Glory to his name. Faith saw the cloud size of a man's hand. Thank God. We're not coming today to pray, asking God to give us a little bit of evidence. That's what you've been seeing. If you're going to see more, it's going to take more prayer. And it's going to take the Holy Spirit leading us in it. And the Holy Spirit giving us faith and perseverance. Well, famous words of every lying preacher, I'm about done. I hope I am. Elijah had a word from God. He said, I hear the sound of the abundance of rain. Yeah, I remember I was a little boy growing. Well, I ain't never been a little boy, but I was young in age. I was growing up, went over to my best friend's house. He lived beside a train track. I thought, how in the world? You people sleep around here. But they got used to the noise. Well, Brother Andy, before you ever see the train, you feel the vibrations. Oh, feel the vibrations. Now, let's not get so full of pride that we think we're the cat's meow. We ain't seen nothing what God can do. And I think you know that. That's why you're here. We're here to see God do it on a fashion we ain't never seen in our life. You say God's already done that. Well, praise God. Ask God to let you see more. There's enough sinners to go around for everybody. Rain means life. Rain means recovery. Rain means refreshment, restoration. Rain means crops are growing again. Cattle are grazing again. I hear the abundance of rain. And faith cometh by hearing. And hearing by the word of God. Boy, we need supernatural power tonight like it's not been in this meeting yet. I believe that. We got to trust God. We know who's got the answer. Amen. Let me just give you this right quick. This little old illustration. I was going to tell you this. Y'all have heard this. You're going to hear it again, I guess. Hudson Taylor went to China. He made the voyage on a sailing vessel, of course. The story goes he nears the channel between southern Malay Peninsula and the island of Sumatra. The missionary heard an urgent knock on his stateroom door. And it was the captain of the ship. Mr. Taylor, he said, we have no wind. We've been drifting toward an island where the people are heathen, and I fear they are cannibals. Hudson Taylor said, what can I do? He said, I understand that you believe in God. Said, I want you to pray for wind. He said, I will, but you got to do one thing. He said, what's that? He said, you must set the sail. You know why you got all these chairs out here? Because they're setting the sail. He said, I can't do that. I'll be made a fool. He come back a little bit later. He said, what'd you say? He said, I said, set the sail. He finally set the sail, and God sent the wind, and God got the glory, and God got him. Old missionary got on his knees while he was praying. God started sending the wind. Brother Randy, we're in the delivery room. We've been in the delivery room. Some of them little mamas are breech, and they need help. The church needs help. That's what I'm getting at. Some of our births are so difficult. People have been lied to so much, demon-possessed, full of sin, don't want to turn it loose, don't want to bow to Christ's Lordship, don't want Him to be the God of their life. And we need God to send power to persuade men. The Holy Ghost is the great persuader. And He holds up the great attraction, and that's Christ. So many of them that's seen religion They need to see Christ. They'll run to Him. They're turned off by religion. Dr. Ray used to say, the devil got all these scarecrows in the church. These hypocrites, they're scarecrows to scare the crows off of the crops. The devil puts hypocrites in the church, scarecrows, to keep people from seeing Jesus. But the Holy Ghost can let them see Him. And God can give them the bread. Amen. That's what we need. I'm talking about, Brother Randy, them difficult bursts. There's going to be some in here tonight, if they don't get saved, he'll probably be an Al Capone. That's right. You don't know who's going to be here. He might be the next terrorist bomber. Get radicalized. Or he might be the next great preacher goes across this country.